Tuesday, April 7th. The recording is only from Facebook.
Carol,
are you on Facebook today?
We are also streaming this on Facebook Live, and
share that.
It should be there. I'm reeling. Yeah, I just posted something snarky to Facebook. So it is April 7th.
How snarky was it?
What I wrote was, this is some bullshit fuckery.
You must have been obsessed.
Yeah, I'll share the news story. Here it is. I don't usually get this upset, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court met today by teleconference because of COVID-19. And they decided that the rest of Wisconsin voters should still go to the polls tomorrow, and they're not going to.
Well, they actually decided that was yesterday.
They're still a candidate.
Yeah.
One point where they decided no, and then the judge overturned it.
I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Wait, Emily, say that again, Marilyn.
Yeah, they actually voted no, and the judge overturned it and said they have to have the election.
Yeah, so I'm not in favor of that. So
that's
posted that to Facebook.
They were on a conference call. They didn't meet up together.
No, that's right. Why I called it some bullshit fuckery.
But a lot of the polling places are closed because the volunteers won't show up. So they're going to have crowded spaces when they've told people not even to go to the grocery store. And this is the country that we live in. He said, they coming to the news
country.
And reporting the news every night. It's like being on that movie, whichever movie he mentioned, but it's like surreal.
Let me bring us together. I apologize for bringing politics in. That was bad on me. But if you're looking on Facebook Live, you can join all the rest of us at rotb.org/community. We are here live in week number 4. This is our 17th meeting together. I'm glad to see Alma and Derek and Mike and Gord, Emily and Alex, Scott, Joe, Rob, Kay, Marilyn, and Carol, and Ruth Bernstein and Marcus. Glad to see you. Sherry, Patty, and Ray, Betsy Ann, and Barb. Everyone, it's like
please.
Hey, hello.
Hi. Glad everyone is here.
Hi, everyone. Sorry, I'm a little late.
Oh, you're here. We're just starting right now. I gave everyone some homework.
Please. Yes, you will. Give me my keys, please.
Wait, I'm going to do.
Could you unmute me, please?
Sherry, hold on. I'm sorry, Sherry. Did you say something?
She wants you to unmute her.
I'm muting you right now. You're muted, Sherry.
No, she wants you to unmute her.
No, I don't want to be. I don't want to be heard right now, please.
Okay, you are muted right now. We cannot hear you right now at all. If you want, tell us and we will unmute you. Oh, and Sherry is back and Shirley is here and glad to see everyone's here. And apparently people are listening to this afterwards. So I want to say hello to everybody else who is listening to this after the fact. What a fantastic thing. So kids, you had homework from yesterday and... I'm never a fan of homework. I taught high school mathematics for 7 years. And in my third year, I had a principal who wrote a book called The End of Homework. And her point was that you don't have to do homework to get good at something. So I taught math without ever giving homework. And we did a lot of the review in class. So I'm not really sure how that fits in all these life skills that we're doing here today. And there was an assignment. Hi, Denise. Glad to see you've joined us.
Hello.
Who's typing as the owner in the link?
I couldn't hear you, Marilyn.
Who's typing as the owner saying tomorrow is Passover? It says owner.
Oh, that's Carol Ox. She says her name got changed to owner. We don't know why that happens every day. I changed you, Carol. You have a name again.
I think Rabbi Brian just wants to deflect ownership of this meeting to someone else other than himself.
Well,
but he's not responsible for the adult romper room.
Well, I'm the guy for now, and I have all the hosting controls at my fingertips. You're not going to dissuade me from talking about what we had to talk about yesterday. Yesterday we talked about, well, let's do just a quick review. We talked about this beautiful little matrix with change and not change, positives and negatives. And let's review what it is that we said about that, that we said for any situation that we're looking at, there are positives to change and negatives to change. There are positives to not changing and negatives to not changing. And just as way of review, Alma, can you name one of the four categories? Which one do you want?
Oh, golly, I can't read my writing.
Oh, that's fantastic. We'll go to Gord. Pass to Gord. Gord, what do you got?
One of the categories. So not change.
Not that's change right. Positive, not change negative.
Not change positive. That was the mermaid, right?
That was the mermaid. And Rob Wait. K, can you give us an idea? What was that mermaid about? Oh, that's a beautiful mermaid I'm drawing today.
What we have to do.
It looks kind of like a baby in a womb.
It's a mermaid, like Marcus.
Sure, you Rabbi. Guys,
I think we all remember the exercise we did on drawing earlier, and that we're going to treat my drawing the way you would treat my neighbor Wren. So what was the mermaid? What does a mermaid represent? The mermaid meant, Emily, can you tell us?
That means the what you lose when you make a change, a positive change.
There's something that you're actually enjoying about the way you are right now. Great. Let's take another one. Barb Segura, you got three categories left. Would you like one?
Oh, I feel terrible that I haven't been here. I had computer issues.
Oh, no worries. No worries. We still love you.
Oh, we can pick I can just pick a symbol.
Just pick one. No, pick one of these. Do you want change positive, change negative, or not change negative? Pick one of those three.
Change positive.
Change positive. And let's go to Patty and Ray. You can consult with each other. Patty and Ray, change positive is?
Pot of gold.
Was a pot of gold that if you change, you're going to get this wonderful pot of gold. Wonderful. And let's go to Betsy Ann Barron. Pick a category, would you?
Well, let's see. I will take change positive. Oh, change. No, sorry. That's taken. Sorry.
You got two others.
Not change negative.
Not change negative. And Ruth Bernstein, here from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Which one do you want? Change negative. What is that? Well, we see Scott has his hand up. He's ready to steal. Do you want to do it, Ruth, or do you want to pass to Scott?
I want to pass.
All right, Scott, what do you got, buddy?
Change negative is the robbers.
Was the robbers that all of a sudden you now have this thing that you've always wanted, pot of gold, and now you have a new worry you've never had to worry about before. Very good, very good. Hi, Pam and Pam's iPad. Glad to see you there.
Could you restate what the mermaid is?
Yeah, I'm going, I will, oh no, I can't actually, but Joe, can you restate what the mermaid is?
Yes. So
do you see
mermaid,
what I did there? You saw what I did there, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that was very clever again, sir.
Go ahead, what is the mermaid, Joe?
The mermaid represents the positive things that if you don't change, you, at least in the moment when you're doing it, you believe they're positive and you can't live without
them. Yeah, we talked about that. We all know we shouldn't gossip, but there's a warm ooze to gossip. If we stopped gossiping, we would have to lose this mermaid. We'd have to lose the warm ooze of gossiping, judging other people. We all know we shouldn't be judging. We should be observing more, but there's this real wonderful sense of superiority that comes along with, and we're referring to that as our mermaid.
Okay, still doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
The gossip one doesn't work for me, so.
Wait a second. Betsy Ann.
Thank you, Betsy.
Hold on. You get a star.
Great.
There it is. It says Betsy Ann on it. You get a star because you said when you didn't understand something and you're willing to admit that. So fantastic. We're going to loop back around after we get the fourth one in.
Okay.
Sherry? You know what this one is? Sherry, not Sherry. Sherry Sirach in Woodland Hills, near Woodland Hills, California.
I was not hearing this.
Okay, would you like to pick a category? This one, great pick. Shirley Wainis. You got that one?
Nope.
Anyone who can give me this
monster,
one?
Monster.
Nope. Monster.
This
monster.
Is the monster. This monster. Is the big tooth monster.
Monster.
And Betsy oh, and snake. It was a snake monster yesterday because that's what it looked like. Today it looks like this. So the idea, Betsy, and, yeah. and Betsy Ann, and let me and please, I'm gonna talk just to you, but I'm sure other people weren't here or don't need a review. Is that when we change, normally we are told there's this bad thing in your life, and if you change, you're gonna get a pot of gold and everything will be good. And what this man named Ellie Goldratt, G-O-L-D-R-A-T-T, pointed out was that there are two other parts to change. When we change and we get the pot of gold, there's often these iatrogenic effects. Thank you very much for the fancy word. Iatrogenics are those things when you take a pill and there are those unintended side effects. So when you get the pot of gold, you now all of a sudden have something to deal with, change. You change from your current reality to this new thing, but there's now a new problem you never had before. That's our robber. So I got away from the monster. I got a pot of gold, but now I have a new problem. I didn't have robbers when I had the monster. I had a monster. Right. And the other one was that when we have our monster, before we change, there's something we really enjoy. There's a positive about our current situation. Current reality down here,
okay.
New reality up here, change, not change. Okay. That when we adopt this new reality, we're going to have to let go of our friend, the mermaid. Oh, because you didn't know this, Betsy Ann, that mermaids are allergic to gold. Not everyone knew that.
I
told them that yesterday. Okay. Yeah. So okay.
Is that true or did you just make that up?
Well, mermaid's true.
As you can ask any mermaid you find.
I will.
Okay. Go ahead. Someone was asking.
Yeah. So the new reality, you get the pot of gold, and the former reality, you got to let go of that. Well, it's a comfort zone thing, right?
Yeah. It was something you were comfortable with. It was something that there was some benefit, and we're not just getting rid of the monster. We're also getting rid of something that we liked. And our homework from yesterday, so that was a lovely review. Our homework from yesterday was we made a list of all these things that are problematic in our life. And some of them we said, if we were to just apply this idea of absolute love, if we were to live our lives in absolute love, Carol, what was the word? It wasn't absolute. I'm getting the wrong word here.
Okay.
Perfect.
Perfect. Thank you. If we were to get perfect love in our life, it would get rid of our self-judgment. It might get rid of our fear. That we could lose a lot of things if we got to perfect love. If we had perfect love, it should get rid of our fear. It should get rid of our self-judgment. But then we had these two things that we had to think about. And I asked people to think over the last 23 hours since we saw each other, what is it, if you tried to add perfect love, what are you losing? What is the mermaid? What did you lose that was so fun about not having perfect love? Or what is it that you're now worried about that you didn't have to worry about when you weren't in perfect love? Mm-hmm. That's a hard question.
Yeah. Very deep. Very
Ruth, deep. You have something? Barb, you have something? Patty, I saw hands going up. Go, yeah. Ray, go ahead. Oh, Ray, hold on a second. You're muted, my friend. You're still muted. You're still muted. You're still muted. Still muted. Still muted. This is getting fun. You do it one more time. And that's okay. Why you have Patty. Okay, you're in.
Yes, indeed.
Go ahead, Ray. If you have perfect love that casts out self-judgment and fear, what are some of these mermaids and robbers?
Well, I think that the mermaid that you had, you looked at that as a good thing. It was warm and fuzzy. If you now have perfect love, you understand that by gossiping, by this mermaid, that that is not necessarily a good thing. It's contrary to perfect love.
Oh, interesting. So you're all of a sudden now, if you go to perfect love, you're going to have a little bit of new shame because you realize that you shouldn't have been doing this the whole time.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. Now, of course, we could say that the perfect love should cancel out the shame, but still there's this, that's going to go over here. Shame. You're going to have, this is a new problem that you didn't have before, is you're going to have some shame you didn't do it earlier. I love that. What did anyone else come up with? I saw some other hands and I can't remember where those were. Barb Segura, I did see your hand.
Maybe I'm completely confused, but living in perfect love means there's a lot of space in me, an expansion. So that means there wouldn't be, for me, there wouldn't be shame or self-judgment. There would be a big space of embracing all differences.
And what is the new problem you would have because you got that? Or what is a problem? What is a benefit you used to have before you got that perfect love? I agree with you.
What's the benefit I used to have? Well, before I got perfect love, I could judge people instead of observe them.
I think that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Right? We have to be willing. Okay, you can have perfect love, but you have to be willing to give up being a judgmental bastard.
Yeah.
You have to give up being smug.
You're going to have to give up being smug.
I like smug.
Yeah.
Okay, show of hands. How many people like being smug?
Of course.
I like smug.
Yeah. I saw another. Ruth, you had a question?
And I was going to talk about being right.
Yeah, same thing. You're going to have to give up being right.
Right.
Right, correct. Right.
So there's some people that theorize that we can, that in fact, everyone is right and everyone is partially wrong. And that's Ken Wilber.
So. Yeah, we're gonna talk about, get towards some of that, I think. Okay. Ruth, you have something else, Ruth?
My boss used to say, everyone has a right to my opinion.
That's
fantastic. Right.
There's something else that I have another problem with if I get perfect love.
How about the fear of losing it?
Oh yeah, you could. I did spiritual direction with someone yesterday and they had gotten to a certain place and they felt as though they had lost it. And it's exactly what you're saying, Jerry, is that they're now, you could lose it. You didn't used to have it. I'm not saying this is rational, but you could lose this thing you used to have. I have another one. Okay, I'm going to come in here and admit it to you. If I'm filled with love, be it right or be it wrong, people are going to think there's something mentally deficient about me. As long as I'm a judgmental bastard, I know better. And I can prove I know better because I can say about the Philharmonic, well, the tuba was a little bit flat. Right? And I can... It goes back to the judgment, but the other side of it is that people are going to think there's something wrong with that guy. He loves everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to seem all of a sudden mentally incompetent.
But where does having an opinion fit in there?
I think once you change this loop, you have to be ready to be lonely. Because on the one hand, you're loving everyone, but that doesn't mean they're recording you.
Absolutely. You have to be willing to be lonely because it does. Carol Ox, I remember when I did spiritual direction with you years ago, you said the phrase to me, it's very quiet when everybody is sleeping. Do you remember saying that?
No, but that's a good one.
It was you. You're gonna lose the people you were friends with. And you might wind up being alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alma.
We said yesterday that one of the downsides is that people would take advantage of us.
Yeah. That people could take advantage of us.
Yeah, a good one. I don't know who said it, but somebody said that yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So did anyone practice with trying to be more loving in the last 23 hours?
Yeah.
We did. Okay, how'd it go? Report back from the field. What'd you learn?
Well, there's some people that can't handle me, especially first thing in the morning. And so I take into account their own issues and give them a break instead of just being mad.
And how did that work out at the end? If you got a score at the end, did that work out positive for Marilyn, or was it worse this way?
It's better that way.
It's better that way. Okay, fantastic. It doesn't mean this is everyone's experience. Individual results may vary. Who else? What did you get?
That it's hard to practice being more loving, but also feeling guilty that, or like you're not doing it right. Because it's not, the other person isn't getting what they want from you.
Yeah. You'd be more loving, but that doesn't mean that people are going to necessarily like you.
Well, I tried to express more love towards my kid yesterday. But at the same time, he didn't get to stay like he wanted. Mm-hmm. And even though I felt like I was showing him more understanding and compassion, he felt like I wasn't, because ultimately he didn't get to move back in.
That's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a sublime pain in being loving, not just giving people what they want. Marcus, I'm going to mute you. There's a little extra noise coming from your end. Sorry. Anyone else?
That was me, maybe.
Okay. Thank you, Marilyn. Anyone else with a experience of yeah, Alex, what happened?
Sorry, having a little trouble getting it to unmute. I was going to actually comment on what Marcus said, which is that boundaries are also really important, and you can be loving and you can love someone, but you also have to be loving to yourself.
Yeah.
And being loving to yourself sometimes means that you have to draw that line in the sand. You have to make a boundary, and sometimes those boundaries are very painful, but they're absolutely necessary, because sometimes love is not giving somebody what they want.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. Thank you. And hola, Enrique, glad you're here. Jeff and John, Todd Schlenk, glad you guys joined. We were just doing a little review of what we all know, that being filled with more love is the goal. So we're really looking at today the downsides of what we lose. What do we lose if we have more love? Yeah. Is we lose this joy of being smug and judgmental.
And being right.
Yeah. And being right.
A lot of pride in being right. I had to really drop off my pedestal. I was right. I know what it's like to be right.
It feels good.
But being right, there's a whole another conversation about being right. Like Rabbi Brian, when you talked about the second tuba playing the wrong notes, I mean, I've studied music since I came out of the womb, and I can listen to the orchestra and say, you know, they were flat or they were sharp, or, you know, I studied music and I know, you know, a flat note isn't right unless the composer wrote it that way, you know? So there's the rights of There are different kinds of rights, right? Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'll put it this way, that I heard fairly recently that it's like there are two window panes. And we can choose to look out the window pane of judgment, or we can look out the window pane of gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And we're looking at the same, it's the same reality on this side or that side. It's just which way we're looking at it.
Mm-hmm. It's like saying I have to versus I get to.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Say that again, gratitude versus what?
Gratitude versus complaining and judgment. And I know, I wanted to try, how many of you saw in my past writings, I've written about the 21 day no complaint challenge. Anyone remember this?
Yeah.
I think it's time to re-up that.
How do you go 21 minutes?
Marcus, time you don't.
Good point.
Okay, sorry kids, let's play this one out. So we have the same boxes. Let's talk about complaining. If we change, we're going to be in a no complaint zone.
Oh no.
And where we are right now is filled with complaints.
Yeah.
You guys tell me what goes on here. What would be a new problem? And these might be a lot of overlap with this perfect love. Hint, hint. If we don't complain, we're going to have a new problem. Because we complain, we're going to lose this thing that we used to do when we move to no complaint.
I'm going to lose the ability to blame others for my issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm done. I don't want to do that.
No.
Self-righteousness.
Self-righteousness has to go out the window.
But I don't like it when people say you have to be positive 24/7 and can never complain.
I don't think we have to be positive all the time. We can state that we don't like something, but it can be different for me to say, this chair is uncomfortable versus me saying, my fucking ass hurts. Right? There's a difference in it. Or why did you give me this seat?
Mm-hmm.
One is an observation. This is uncomfortable. It's not judgment. So maybe it's not a complaint, but it's filled with the judgment complaints. And I don't like the Pollyanna princesses and princes who are just, this is all, I'm going to make sunshine and lemonade out of this. Bam.
We can still cry. We can wham, wham, wham. We can still go wham, wham, wham.
But to a certain level. Let's keep going. What is the problem? If we stop complaining, we're going to have a new problem that we didn't have before.
Frustration.
We're going to have frustration. We're going to have a new frustration because this is totally new. Brilliant. Yeah.
Can we complain about that?
Sure.
No complaints.
What is going to be another problem? I'm going to say it's the same problem. If I stop complaining, how are people going to know that I'm smart? How are they going to know that I'm right?
Say that again.
Yes, Marcus.
This is Carrie, Marcus's mom.
Hi, Carrie.
I'm listening in. I use complaining at work as a major coping mechanism for stress. I work in an emergency room.
Yeah.
And we all are in the habit of, oh my God, the guy in 7 is driving me crazy.
Yeah.
It's how I deal with stress.
So one of the things we might lose again is our sense of community.
Yep. Community and venting frustration. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one of the positives we have right now is it's a vent.
Mm-hmm.
And we might lose some of that vent. But are the goal, what are the other gains we might have if we stop complaining? And all I'm saying is let's look at it and see if it's worth it to us to try. I'm not saying we have to.
More peace.
We're going to have more peace, but less vent. So this was the thing I had with Thank you very much. More peace. I had with my friend David. I wrote about it. He was the one who was in the road rage, and he was the one who said horrible things to someone else on the street. And I said to him, I don't have that problem. And he said, well, that's too bad. You don't get to cathart. But I said I don't remember if I said it to him or it was a thought I had afterwards, was, but I don't need to have that much cathart anymore. Because I have more peace, I don't have as much bent up that I have to let out.
So a negative,
yes, do it,
is that people get upset that you're not complaining and that you're not.
You're going to lose your community.
Yeah.
Change community.
Yeah, you know, that's easy to say.
I know, but over time, the work is like, listening to all this stuff.
Yeah. Like, so here you go. Betsy Ann, you're in. I'm in. Anyone else who wants to play, this is how you play the 21-day no complaint challenge.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll play.
You try to go 21 days without a complaint coming out of your mouth. You're allowed to think all the nasty shit you need to think.
Can we journal it?
You can write anything you need to write, but you have to reset the clock back to zero when you hear a complaint. Not this chair is uncomfortable, that's a statement, but damn it, my ass is hurting, that's a complaint. When you hit a complaint, you have to reset the clock. There's an app called, I can't remember which one it was. It was a timer app that I liked. And I'm going to reinstall it. I'm going to do it again because this pandemic is a great chance for me to repractice. The first time I did it, it took me 4 months till I went 21 straight days.
Ouch.
For me, it's been 4 years.
Now, I'm going to make it easier because I've done this a few times. Betsy Ann, you ready to try?
Yep.
Okay.
I think I've been working on this for a while. So it'll take a while.
So here's how I found that it's can be easier to play if you play with someone else.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, Betsy Ann, anytime I complain, you have to reset your clock too. Anytime you complain. And anytime you complain, you're going to the app was called Days Since, DaysSince. So Betsy Ann, anytime you complain, you're going to have to send me a text message that say, sorry, Rabbi, we're back to zero.
Ouch.
Oh.
And the reason this works is because it's one thing for me to mess up my own score.
Oh, shit.
But how dare I?
I'm not playing with you.
Betsy Ann, you in?
I'm in.
Okay. You got me. God. I got you. 21 days. Let's see how long it takes us.
Let us know, Betsy Ann. Let us know how it goes.
If you want to complain now, I would do it right now. It's not that much to reset.
Clarification. It can be in your head. You can write it out, but you just can't speak complaining words out of your mouth.
That's the way I play.
Two questions. Oh, can you do it if you're alone in your car?
Okay. folks, hold on a sec. I hit a wrong button there. This is on you. Like, there are no official rules to this game. This is how you want to play it, right? This is how you want to play it. There's no, this did not come from God in a memo.
Oh, it's not in the Bible.
Darn.
It might be. I'm sure we could find it.
Does it count if we sign it in sign language?
You play.
No.
You play however you want to play.
That's sign language.
Joe.
I sign.
You and I.
Marcus too.
All right, Marcus.
So we can just sit there and complain.
I don't know if you're a very good example, Marcus, but okay.
You can't sign it.
So I think I know. I think I can tell you, and you can tell me that I'm wrong. but I think I know why everyone's at Twitter right now and anxious.
Oh.
I think you're all at Twitter and anxious because you know, you know what you should be doing.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I said it, Emily.
You just shoot on yourself, right, Rabbi?
I'm shooting on all of you.
Yeah.
You tell if I'm wrong, this doesn't have to hit, but if it resonates in you, there's a chance I might be right here.
You're not wrong, but I'm gonna say that Scott and I tried that for a few days.
Yeah.
And after a few days, Scott was really mad.
I got to 4 days a bunch of times. Four seemed to be as far as I could go for a long while.
Then it's I'm just supposed to sit here and not say anything.
Y'all play and go ahead in the chat room if you want to partner up with people. Feel free, find somebody who lives in your house. I think that might be a little hard with someone who lives in your house right now.
If it took me 30 years to get a year of valid results, how long do you think this will take me?
21 days. April 28th, folks.
You know, Rabbi, I noticed that it changes the course of conversation when I don't complain with people, and I've lost certain friends. People know to not gossip with me.
Right.
And then there's a lot more space for enriched conversations. And I have to acknowledge that a lot of people sometimes don't know how to have a deeper conversation.
Yeah.
And this practice gave me a lot of, and gives me, you know, because I still do complain sometimes, gives me a lot of opportunity to think about, well, what else is there that we could connect about?
I love it. I love it. My friend Mark, who I send my five gratitudes every night to, he asked people, he started doing this and he started to ask people, instead of saying, how are you? He trained himself to say, hey, Derek, what's good? And that's what he says to everyone. He says, what's good? Because he doesn't want to hear them complain. If you say, how are you? They'll say, oh, my car, blah, 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 blah. If you say, what's good? It changes the conversation.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay. John.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, friends get together and they bitch and complain about whatever's gone on over the last while. And it turns into, you know, it can become very humorous. So I think it's,
you can also pretend, and you can say to your spouse or your partner, say, this doesn't go, this is like in the dome of confidentiality, but I need to really complain here. But I think what I'm talking about more is that we're starting to notice what we're doing, as opposed to it just coming out. We're starting to be more conscious about the actual effects. We can only control so much in this world. I think we all know that. So why don't we control as much as we can of what we can control, which is what's going on here and what's coming out of this?
Practice the pause.
Practice the pause. I like that. I feel like there should be a little kitten with a paw.
That's our Musar thing.
thank you, Sherry. Okay.
But we kind of put the word awareness in there instead of control, like be more aware.
Sure. Oh, I'm scared now, Betsy, and I don't know what I got myself into.
I like that.
Okay. So, folks, there's something I want to talk to you.
What did Betsy Ann say?
She said it's about, go ahead, Betsy Ann, you say it.
I said that I think it's more about being aware than controlling. Aware of what we're saying instead of controlling.
Yeah.
So that can lead to the shift.
So, folks, I need to tell you guys, in talking about boundaries and taking care of ourselves, I got this. We are on week four. I don't know that I can. It's not that I don't know I can. I don't want to do this daily going on. And I'm sorry to say that, but I'll do weekly with y'all. But this is I got a lot. I got life. And this is taking a little bit more than I can hold on to. And it hurts me to say, but I gotta preach what I practice and practice what I preach.
Yeah.
When are you going to be back after today?
No, I'll finish out this week with y'all.
You mean the Passover?
Passover's on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I didn't understand. Tomorrow. So what I was saying is that starting next week, I want to go to weekly.
Okay.
Of meeting weekly. And maybe we can do it for a little longer when we all meet. But the daily is, at least that was my thinking today in talking with my productivity, I don't even remember what I call her. Denise is my organizational consultant. She's like, dude, you're burning yourself out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yes, Derek.
I think daily is too much for me too.
Oh, which you don't have to show up. I guess I don't have to show up either. What am I kidding?
I know, but if I don't show up, then I'll be mad at myself for missing it.
Yeah. All right.
So there's a thread, Dr. Rabbi, you've been creating a thread online things. And, you know, like I can be here. I was here yesterday and today, but I can't be here the rest of the week. So I kind of miss those threads.
Yeah.
Of what's happening, which has been really interesting. Yeah.
Most days it's on Facebook. You can watch the replay.
But being live is something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like a live thing so much better. It's real. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. Okay. Glad I said that. That's fun.
When will we start weekly instead of daily?
Next week. I don't know if we'll do Mondays or Fridays. You all give me a sense. I don't know. I've never done this before.
How about not Fridays, because that's the one day that I have a Qigong class that I missed the first hour of.
Okay. I don't know. To everyone give Monday's me a sense. Great. What would feel Monday. Better for you? Mondays?
Monday.
Wednesday.
Monday.
Uh-oh.
Any day.
I'm not going to make everyone happy.
Monday or Wednesday.
I will figure out
best for you, Rabbi.
Yeah.
There you go.
I would probably say Monday.
We are tremendously grateful and thankful for what you've been doing for us here. I mean, tremendously so much. And, you know, I mean, I can't speak for everybody else in the group, but I totally understand what it means to have a life and stuff that you got to do that doesn't involve other stuff.
Thank you all. I appreciate it. And I'm also
do what works for you, and those of us who can make it will be here, and those that can't. And
appreciate it.
On the days that Rabbi Brian can't be here, instead of starting my Facebook Live at 11, I could start it after my yoga class around 10:15 if anyone wants to come in and chat. And my name is Marilyn Gottlieb, or you can put /Harbor Journal and come up with my Facebook also if you want to add me.
Okay.
Marilyn Gottlieb.
I'll type it in the chat.
Thank you, Marilyn. That's cool. Lovely. That's
You're
lovely.
You're welcome.
And I think this was very strategic to talk about not complaining right before I told you we're not going to be eating all
that. Right.
You're setting limits, Rabbi.
I am. I wanted...
You are entitled.
I have to be.
Yeah, you're looking after yourself.
I'm trying to. I also wanted to do something that I've not done before. And I wanted to, so the reason I would go with Mondays instead of Fridays is because Fridays, I'm still trying to get that newsletter ready for Monday. And Monday, I always feel like I have a little bit more space in my day. And so I wrote something. And I don't know that we have enough time for me to read this whole thing, but I wrote something and I wanted to read it out and see, get just to read it and see how y'all reacted to it. Do you mind if I read a piece that I'm writing? You can't complain anyway, so that's fine. This is a piece, not published it yet. I've been working on it, and it's called Without Sin.
Hmm.
Without sin. My people. My people don't do this original sin thing. We don't grow up with this doctrine. We know about guilt. We're Jews. My people create guilt masterpieces, but original sin, it's far darker than guilt. Guilt stems from having done something wrong. Original sin's premise is that you are and have been wrong since inception. And that leads to shame. Mm-hmm. And that is a horrible shame. You were brought up to believe that your thoughts and you could be impure. Shame on them for telling you that. I can't even imagine. Look, Gus, no hands. There was no fall, no original sin, no ancestral sin. Actions purported to have been done by Adam and Eve do not implicate you for this life. Look at the text. Look at the Bible. Original sin was birthed into the world from Augustine of Hippo, not God. Yeah. Sinner for all time is 1/4 century man's gloss on Genesis 3. His thoughts became very popular. After all, it explains why seemingly bad things happen. But that doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. If you want to believe humanity is broken and deserving of misery, believe it because you choose to believe it, mm-hmm. not because they told you to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Bible never once refers to original sin, period. In mm-hmm. fact, the first time the word sin is even used in the great book is after the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Sin debuts with Cain's jealousy of Abel. That childbirth will be painful and work will be hard? Yes. Original sin? No. Mm-hmm. Fact, and this is quite a pill to swallow if you grew up believing otherwise, Adam and Eve did not disobey God. They couldn't. Just like the parallel Greek protoplast story of Pandora and Epimetheus, deceit, among other evils, has not yet been invented. The fruit they were told not to eat, the box they were told not to open, was the very box/food that would open their eyes to deceit. Mm-hmm. I didn't punish my boy when he crawled into and tugged a tablecloth in an attempt to lift himself standing. My calls of don't stop didn't make sense to him. Why? Because every other time he had lifted himself to stand, I had been proud. Was he being disobedient that time by not listening to me? No, he just didn't understand. I rushed in to save him from the crystal bowl veering towards his head and smashing to the ground. Neither happened. I got there in time, but I didn't punish Emmett. He wasn't wrong for his actions. He was trying to lift himself up. Adam and Eve didn't know not to listen to the serpent. They didn't know the difference between good and evil. They didn't have that knowledge. They weren't wrong. They weren't disobedient. Nothing is shameful for all time. It's innocence, a lack of understanding. That's all. Augie, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus's craftsmanship shoddy? Well, why do I ask? Well, it seems from your writing that Jesus's sacrifice was to return us to grace. So then if he did, why am I still sinful? And let me answer you, I'm not. I heard a missionary say that selling Jesus's salvation is easier if you first arouse in people a deep need for it. That is, to sell the cure of Jesus dying for your sins, you need to first go about convincing people that they are sinners. Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Stasis.
Boy,
and 20%.
I knew that.
Say that again, wait. Please.
Yeah,
heard a missionary say that selling Jesus's salvation is easier if you first arouse the deep need for it. That is, to sell the cure of Jesus dying for your sins, you have to first go about convincing people they are sinners. Oh, Jesus.
Ouch.
Stasis and 20% more God. I am a Jew. I can't imagine the exhaustion and terror of trying to free oneself from having internalized the message, I am a sinner. After all, abused women, choked, hit, and insulted don't just leave. Even when it looks all better on paper, it's hard to leave the familiar in favor of the unknown. And all the more so when it's not so clear. We like stasis. However, religion is about becoming. A major component of religion is transformation, changing, growing. Religion gets a certain funk smell to it if it's kept in a box too long. Attributed to Thomas Merton is the quote, if the you of 5 years ago doesn't think the you of today is a heretic, you're not growing spiritually. Despite what you might want to believe, the you are isn't going to stay the you are. Like it or not, you are going to continue growing. I hope you grow towards light and love, But how you go from who you are, that's up to you. If it's up to you, it's up to you if you want to learn. I apologize. It's up to you if you learn to apologize for your misdeeds, for the things you have done that others or your conscience have told you are harmful. Reflect on yourself. None of us are perfect. I hope one day you will find peace in your heart that you are not a sinner. Well, at least that you weren't born a sinner. Basic rule. If in the last month you've made someone cry or feel afraid, you might reconsider your status and consider reflecting, apologizing, and changing your behavior. Jew sinner. I've been on the wrong end of this too. I'm so sorry, Rabbi Brian. You're so kind and good, but there's the issue of your eternal soul. I'm worried about you because you've not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. My response, you choose to believe that, and you can choose otherwise. Looking forward. To repeat to yourself that you are a sinner wounds your soul, whatever that particular word soul means. When we decide who we are, including who we were told we are, isn't as important as who we are and who we are ready to become, then we can free ourselves from ourselves so we can be more of our true selves. Krishnamurti wrote, "Not to be hurt is much more important than the hurt one has collected." That's powerful stuff. We aren't sinners. We just aren't. Politicians, poets, and religion decree salvation from our internalized sense of brokenness is available in a brighter future. Let me conclude with the words of Nachman of Bratslav. If you believe damage is possible, then you must believe repair is possible as well. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Wow.
Amazing.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Yeah. I hope we get that.
Yeah.
I hope we get copies of that.
I'm working on that and a whole bunch of other essays for book number 3. And so this, I thank you. I wanted to read it aloud to see what parts where That's I need awesome. To work on it. Thank you all.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. It's the end of Tuesday. Thank you all. I always like to hear what's something you learned, what's something you're taking away from today's meeting. We were all here for almost an hour.
I never thought of original sin in the way he just described when I was born.
Thank you. Thank you. So give me 3 people. What's something you're taking with you today?
A challenge.
Yeah, Shirley.
Yeah, the challenge. Definitely.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
You got a challenge.
The challenge. Yes. And working towards perfect love.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you, Alma. What else? Show me a hand. Someone else who got something that they learned today that they're taking with them. Yes, Betsy Ann.
I think it's going to be interesting, the 21-day challenge, to hear what my complaints are or aren't.
Yeah,
I like that.
Because I'm not really a complainer, I don't think, but I'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, process. Good. Very cool.
Yes, Alma.
I had something on Facebook today, a quote on Facebook, and it's headed "Where True Love Is," and it said, "If your religion teaches you not to question, then your religion is hiding something from you."
Oh, I like that.
Mm.
That was actually said by my priest.
Would you send your priest my love?
Yeah, you and him would get on so well.
I'm sure of it.
Awesome.
Good. Enrique, you had something?
The idea of the brother on sin, I mean, again, the Christian church didn't believe that until Augustine. And they had a better way of putting it. And they would say that actually what happened is that people couldn't understand God's love. And because of that, they would either go one of two ways, either desperation, despair, or judging other people and comparing them to themselves. Because if I'm not as bad as the other person, I can get some chocolate points from God, you know. So
It doesn't work for me. Okay, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Enrique. Okay, folks, I'm going to unmute everybody. Hold on. And now everyone give a chance to wave and say bye to each other. And I'll see you all here tomorrow in 23 hours.
It was great.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye,
Denise.
Bye.
You will.
Bye, Enrique.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Carol.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Alex. Joe. Bye.
Meditation helps people gain clarity and calm, but the instructions on how to meditate are often constricting, confusing, boring. Well, they suck. I'm Rabbi Brian Zachary Mayer, and this is Meditation is Magic. Join as I teach Stallion and Dragon a bit about mindfulness and the four-letter secret to meditation. Have you ever thought, I wish meditation were as simple as magic? Now it is. Meditation is magic.
Meditation is magic is parental advisory explicit content. Teens make certain to advise your parents. I want to learn meditation with Meditation is Magic. It's explicit, fancy word for clear. Also, the horse dropped the F-bomb.